from the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
Hello, and welcome to this weekend edition of Washington Watch. As you can probably tell, I am not David Salkeld. This is Tony Perkins, host of Washington Watch and the president of the Family Research Council. And I'm so glad that you have joined us. On today's program, you're going to hear my conversation this week with our own Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin about his new book that came out this week, Strong and Courageous. We also talked about the remarks that President Biden made on Iran and Israel in his address this week at the United Nations General Assembly. But first up is Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina. He joined me to discuss President Biden's UN address, as well as the latest increase in interest rates by the Federal Reserve and a measure he has introduced that would stop abortions nationwide at the point an unborn baby feels pain. Here is how our conversation began. Senator Graham, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you. If Washington ever needed to be watched, it's right now.
Well, you're watching, so give me your reaction to the president's speech today to the United Nations.
Well, so let's just break it down. I'm glad he rallied the world to stand up on behalf of the Ukraine, to stand up to Putin, because if we don't stop him there, according to his own words, Putin, he wants to rewrite the map of the Europe. That was good. What he doesn't understand is if he does an Iran nuclear deal where the Iranian Ayatollah, who's a religious Nazi, will get $100 billion a year in new revenue over a 10-year period, that's a disaster for the state of Israel and our Sunni Arab allies. The president doesn't understand that the Ayatollah of Iran has as his goal to purify Islam, to get Sunni Islam to bend to his knee as a Shiite, to destroy the state of Israel, and to make Shia Islam the religion of the world. People didn't understand what Hitler wanted to do. I understand what the Ayatollah wants to do, and you would be a fool to give that regime $100 billion of new money a year to share with Hezbollah, a terrorist organization in Lebanon and other areas, and Hamas, a terrorist organization vowed to destroy Israel and Gaza. So I think President Biden is naive when it comes to terrorism. He withdrew from Afghanistan after 20 years of fighting. The Taliban are back in charge. If you care about women, Mr. President, why did you turn the women of Afghanistan back over to the Taliban, who will treat them like chattel? As to the unborn, here's what I'm saying without any apology. The Republican Party has traditionally been the party of the unborn. To those who suggest that after Roe v. Wade's repeal, there is no voice for the unborn in Washington, that we're going to turn the nation's capital over to the pro-abortion crowd, I will never agree to that. So I am calling on you and your listeners to rally the troops for the unborn in Washington to say that post-Roe v. Wade, we will allow states to set their own course up to a point, but at 15 weeks, in line with Europe, we're going to draw a line and save babies from a painful death, because at 15 weeks they can feel pain. Right. So what did I think about his speech? I think it was naive given the threats we face. If you do the Iran nuclear deal to give the Ayatollah this much money, he will share it with terrorist groups, and that will be a bad day for our friends in Israel.
Well, Senator, you addressed a lot right there, and I want to try to break it down. I want to go back to Iran. But first, I want to take on the issue of the bill that you introduced, protecting pain-capable unborn children from late-term abortions.
Right.
Now, I think it's in this context of the president talking to the United Nations, I think it's fitting, because 47 out of 50 European nations actually limit elective abortions prior to this 15 weeks. So if the president wants to be in line just with Europe, he would say, yeah, this is a good starting point.
Well, if you talk about protecting women, I would assume that's young girls too, right?
Right.
Little baby girls. So the pro-life movement is not about geography. It's about the rights of the unborn. It's not about an election cycle. It's all the time, everywhere, right? So we should be advocating for the unborn all the time, everywhere, within reason. So what I have chosen is to pick a standard consistent with the civilized world, and trying to get Republicans to talk about the Democratic position on abortion.
Right.
The Democratic position is abortion on demand up to the moment of birth, like China and North Korea. There are seven nations of the world in that category, and I do not want any part of America to have Chinese abortion practices. I want to draw a line in Washington to protect unborn babies from an excruciating death.
Right.
And I need our Republican colleagues to rally to the cause. There's nothing wrong with being pro-life, even in an election year.
You and I have talked about this, Senator. I am pro-life from the moment of conception forward. That's been my
yes.
position since I was elected to office and post-election. It hasn't changed. But I also understand that we have to build consensus, and we have to reach that point of national consensus. It's changed post-Roe, now that we're in this era of Dobbs, after the Dobbs decision. 72% of Americans agree we should limit abortion after 15 weeks. So
yeah.
This is not the end point, but the starting point, as I see it, and it certainly is for me. I support your bill, but
yeah.
it's not the end of the conversation. I want to continue moving. That's one of the reasons I was one of the first authors of an Abortion Clinic Regulation Act back in the late 90s, and people didn't think we should do that. But we've got to take steps to get where we need to go and build consensus. So I agree with your actions. I just want to make sure people realize this is not the end of the conversation.
Well, the reason I'm on your show is because your audience is really committed to the unborn. And my bill does not stop South Carolina or Oklahoma from doing more restrictive laws on abortion. It allows states to do what they would choose to do, but at 15 weeks, we want to draw a line for America.
Okay, contrast that with the bill that the Democrats have passed through the House.
Thank you. The bill the Democratic Party passed through the House allows abortion on demand as national law. It would set aside every pro-life law in the country in all 50 states and replace it with a national standard that would allow abortion on demand up to the moment of birth without restriction, making America like China and North Korea.
So we're talking
that
about like
their position.
We're talking about like parental notification, ultrasound laws,
everything.
Those types. So why is the media not talking about how radical Democrats are, where they won't even agree to a line? I mean, is it a day before birth? Is it a day after birth? They won't agree
to
that.
You can go to the delivery. I mean, you'd be going to the delivery. I don't mean to make light of this, but you know why the national media is not talking about it, because they're pro-abortion. They're cheering on. I mean, I got the crap beat out of me by the national media for introducing a national minimum standard of 15 weeks, 1 week more liberal than the French, with exceptions for rape, incest, life of the mother. Why? Because they don't want me to expose the Democratic Party's position on abortion, because if most Americans understood what they're trying to do nationally, it would hurt them. Everybody thinks abortion is a great issue for the Democrats. Not if you know what they want to do. They
right.
want to make a law for the land, the national standard abortion on demand up to the moment of birth with no restrictions.
And making every American pay for it.
Taxpayer funded. Thank you. It's been a long day. Yeah, take your money and pay for it. So here's what I think.
All right, Senator, we're up against a break. Hold that thought.
Go.
We're going to come back on the other side of the break. We're going to continue our conversation with South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham, who this week introduced protecting pain-capable unborn children from late-term abortions. It's a starting point in this post-Dobbs world and post-Roe. It's not the end. Under this legislation, states can do as much as there's consensus that they can build. And of course, we encourage state legislators to do that. Anyway, stick around. We're going to continue our conversation after this.
We live in a culture where young men, husbands, and fathers are rarely presented with godly illustrations of manhood. The news, social media, entertainment often fail to present these examples. In this culture, how can boys and men navigate what it truly means to be a man of God? Look to Family Research Council's Stand Courageous Men's Ministry. It is led by men who are compassionate leaders, who understand the issues of the day, and will invest in unpacking a man's role as defenders, providers, instructors, chaplains, and battle buddies so that they can embrace their identity as men and fight the battles every man faces. God made each man on purpose, and he had a purpose for making him a man. Stand Courageous offers many resources to help men step into their God-given role. We have podcasts, coaching videos, books, Bible reading plans, community opportunities, and more. Men, this ministry is for you. Learn more and access our resources at standcourageous.com.
In October 2016, Pastor Andrew Brunson was falsely accused of terrorism and held for 2 years in Turkish prisons. Following a worldwide prayer movement and significant political pressure from the United States government, he was released in October of 2018. Since then, Andrew has felt an urgency for Christians in the West to prepare for a coming wave of hostility. During the first year, Andrew broke under the pressure, but God began to rebuild him. To equip Christ followers for hostility and persecution, Brunson launched an 8-part video series titled Prepare to Stand. In it, he shares some of the lessons he learned on staying faithful during his imprisonment. Watch this important series and learn how you can prepare to stand by going to frc.org/prepare to stand. Again, that's frc.org/prepare to stand.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Good to have you with us. The website, TonyPerkins.com. Continuing our conversation with Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina. He serves on 4 committees, including the Budget Committee, where he's the ranking member. All right, Senator, thanks for sticking around. I want to talk with you about. I want to get to the announcement by the Fed that the interest rate is being raised. Yeah. But I want to finish on this issue of abortion, of the pain-capable bill which you introduced, which would say after 15 weeks when a child can feel pain, this is when there's surgery in utero. The standard is to give them anesthesia because they do feel that pain. And so that's the cutoff here. Look, I'm going to restate what I said at the beginning. I support life from the moment of conception on, but I understand we have to bring the people along and we have to build consensus. 72% of Americans agree that there should be a cutoff around this period. Right. So I'm a little concerned. You know, it took us 49 years to get here to see Roe overturned. Moving forward is going to be, I think, the same process, incremental, where we can build consensus.
Well, one thing I want to say, Tony, the worst outcome for the pro-life movement in America is for the Republican Party to surrender Washington, D.C. to the pro-abortion crowd.
Are you concerned that's happening?
Yes. I wouldn't be on your show. I'm concerned that the state of Israel is going to have to act by itself against the Iranian nuclear threat because President Biden is naive about the Ayatollah. I'm concerned that if we don't watch it, we're going to lose our focus on Ukraine and stop Putin in Ukraine before he rewrites the map of Europe. I'm concerned that Taiwan will fall if we let Ukraine fall. I'm concerned that radical Islam will come through our broken border in the south and kill a bunch of us. But I'm also concerned about our nation as a whole and the pro-life movement. We won a great victory by overturning Roe. It would be a shame to waste that victory. So every state out there, you can do what you would like on abortion. You can go below 15 weeks. South Carolina will, Oklahoma will, a bunch of cases. States will be more pro-life than others.
Right.
But what I'm trying to do is to tell the country, this is not transportation policy. States' rights have to give away to human rights. I do not want to sit on the sideline as a nation and allow a baby to be aborted at 36 weeks in California and Oregon and Maryland without pushing back. I want votes in the nation's capital to have a minimum national standard to protect babies who feel pain.
And again, I want to contrast this with what the pro-abortion left is doing. They don't want the states to have a choice. They want a uniform pro-abortion policy from the moment of conception until birth, and some actually, like in California, advocating post-birth. I mean, it's insane.
Yes.
But there's no end to where we might end up if we disrespect the sanctity of human life.
I need your help, Tony. I need your voice. I need the people calling their senators saying, draw a line in the sand in Washington, protect babies from an excruciating death that can feel pain. Do not let California and Oregon and those states have Chinese abortion policy. Let's draw a line. Let's be like the civilized world, not like China and North Korea.
We'll do just that. You heard the senator, and I'm going to give out the Senate switchboard number here in just a moment. Senator, you're on the ranking member on budget committee. The Federal Reserve today announcing a 0.75% raise in interest rates. Yeah. This seems to be in contrast with the Biden administration spending more money in their so-called Inflation Reduction Act. I mean, the reason that the Fed is squeezing the economy is to try to cool it off, but the Democrats are putting more money into the economy. Help me understand what's going on.
Okay, the same people making monetary policy are the same people in control of your border. They tell you the border is secure. Well, that's crazy. We have 2 million people coming across our border illegally, 80 on the terrorist watch list. These are the same people who want to give the Ayatollah, who's a religious Nazi, $100 billion of new revenue every year on the hope he'll moderate his nuclear program. These people don't know what they're doing. When it comes to inflation, they've thrown gasoline on a fire. The American Rescue Plan was trillions of dollars of new spending that made inflation worse, right?
Right.
So what's the Fed doing? Raising interest rates to cool off.
Right.
And we're going to suffer. Last year they told us that inflation was transitory. Me and you said, you know, the American Rescue Plan that passed along party lines would make inflation worse. The Inflation Reduction Act that passed a couple of months ago with 87,000 new IRS agents to come after everybody listening here is going to make things worse. They're taking – their policies are making inflation worse. The Federal Reserve has to act, and it's going to hurt the economy. They saw this coming. They'd rather spend money while they have power – inflation be damned, to get as many liberal programs as in place, to create as many new government programs as possible at your expense. That's what this is about, power.
All right, final question. We're almost out of time. You mentioned Iran, comparing that to the Nazis and Hitler. You know, Hitler told the world what he was going to do. Iran is doing the same thing. Why will we not believe them?
Because we don't want to have to act. They marginalized what Hitler said because everybody was tired after World War One. We had millions of people killed in World War One. When it comes time to confront evil, it's better to excuse it than it is to confront it. No, it's not. God has told us, stand up, be accountable, right? Well, the people in the Iranian Ayatollah's orbit have the same outcome for the Jewish people as the Nazis, and they want to kill you too. They want to bow. They want you to bow to their version of Islam. They want to wipe out faith as we know it and have a world religion. The Nazis wanted a master race. The Ayatollah wants a master religion. He says it over and over again, and I believe him, and I'm going to push back, and I'm going to stand with Israel. We live in dangerous, crazy, insane times. Thank you for having a voice. Help me with the unborn. Stand by Israel. We don't have to repeat the mistakes of the past. You know why they give wars numbers? Because people don't learn anything.
Right. So true. Senator Lindsey Graham, always great to talk with you. Thank you for your leadership on Capitol Hill, and I appreciate you joining us today.
God bless.
All right. Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina. Look, I think the moral issues here at home, the lack of the sanctity of human life, the lawlessness that we allow to run rampant, I say we, our government, you know, that's really at the heart. And if we don't get that right, the foreign policy is not going to be right. These are core issues. And I support what Senator Graham is doing from a standpoint of this is a starting point of building consensus, moving forward till America is once again a pro-life nation. We've got to work, you know, taking inch by inch. We cannot give up. All right, folks, don't go away. More Washington Watch after this.
It is so important for Christians to ground themselves in the truth of God's Word. And with growing division and confusion in our culture, it is critical that believers prepare to give the reason for the hope that they have. Family Research Council's Center for Biblical Worldview exists to help believers fulfill that call. The center applies the Bible and the historical teachings of the church to a wide range of issues to help Christians understand and live by a biblical worldview. To know why Scripture must be authoritative, and to equip believers to defend the faith in the workplace, in schools, in their communities, and in the public square. The experts at the center address and provide resources on a variety of issues, including religious liberty, abortion, voting, marriage, and sexuality. To access the center's free resources, go to frc.org/worldview. To get highlights of the latest work from the Worldview Fellows, including blogs, op-eds, interviews, and publications, sign up at frc.org/subscriptions.
From Asia to Africa, from the Middle East to Europe and beyond, the global persecution of Christians becomes more ominous with every passing year. Heroic Faith serves as a tribute to the courageous believers who face grave and often deadly threats, yet bravely persevere in their devotion to Jesus Christ. The book highlights personal stories from those who endure religious persecution and takes a close look at the tragic circumstances Christians often face due to dangerous and deadly opposition to their faith. The book's true stories of persistence and faithfulness offer inspiration and hope. Heroic Faith also provides insights into the ideologies driving the hostility and persecution, what steps the U.S. government might take to help, and how readers can best respond to the struggles of the faithful. You can get your copy of Heroic Faith wherever books are sold, or by going to frc.org/heroicfaith.
Military analysts are interpreting Russia President Vladimir Putin's latest moves as he announced he is drafting nearly 300,000 reservists and setting up referendums in four occupied regions of eastern Ukraine. Now, the question is, could this be a pretext to justify greater military escalation? We're going to talk about that with General Jerry Boykin. We're also going to discuss a new book that he has out today, Strong and Courageous. Here is how our conversation began. General, welcome back to the program.
Thank you very much.
So this is going to be a part of the Stand Courageous Men's Conferences FRC is doing.
Yeah, it is. We started our men's conferences two or three years ago with the prequel to this book,
right,
which was Man to Man, where we identified the five things a man is supposed to be biblically. And now we're going to switch, and this will be the next phase of those men's conferences, and as we use this book, because this actually gives you some very good biblical examples of a man who lived every one of those five principles.
It's a great, great book, the Book of Joshua. I haven't read this one yet, but I'm sure it's a great book, too. You and Dr. Keenan Cureton, who is on our team here. And
he's, by the way, he is an incredible theologian.
Oh, yeah. And historian.
And historian.
Yeah, he does some excellent work. So this is a part of the Stand Courageous Men's Conference, which, by the way, well, before I go to that, people can get a copy of this book, though. You don't have to come to a conference to get it. It's available out today. So today you can get a copy of this book.
You can get a copy of this book by going to FRC's website. And you can also go to Amazon or wherever books are sold.
All right. So Stand, or a regular Strong Courageous, a call to Strong and Courageous, a call to biblical manhood. All right, General, I want to talk about some of the issues that came up today at the United Nations. In fact, the President Biden, there speaking, really touching on a number of global issues. I want to go first to one that you and I have talked about quite a bit. I talked about this earlier with Senator Graham, and that is Iran. Play clip number 9, please.
While the United States is prepared for a mutual return to the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action if Iran steps up to its obligations, the United States is clear. We will not allow Iran to acquire a nuclear weapon. I continue to believe that diplomacy is the best way to achieve this outcome. The nonproliferation regime is one of the greatest successes of this institution.
The clock is ticking. I actually had lunch this afternoon with an ambassador. I'm not going to mention the country, but is very concerned about where these negotiations are going and that they're going nowhere. And we're actually seeing the human rights situation in Iran worsen. We're ignoring it in pursuit of an agreement that, frankly, is meaningless.
Yeah, and if Soleimani was still alive, there would probably be another 15,000 bodies in the streets of Tehran right now because the people are fed up with their government. And I talked to a missionary that operates underground in Iran, and he and his wife both, they said the people are so fed up with the government that they have there that they want to fight back.
So why are we propping them up, engaging in these negotiations?
Well, it goes back as the same policy that Mr. Obama had. Remember, we sent them millions of dollars in cash, you know. For exchange of hostages. And that's what we're doing again, lifting the sanctions and giving them money in their coffers to build those nuclear weapons that they've been trying to build for probably a decade and a half.
So earlier, Senator Graham was talking about this and the threats that Iran is making, that they will destroy Israel. Mm-hmm. We have an administration that's acting like, well, they're just kind of joking.
The administration doesn't understand the mindset of a Shia 12er, those within Islam who believe that their Messiah will not return until the world is in bloodshed and chaos, and is there a better way to create bloodshed and chaos?
Is that because we have an administration that is dominated by people who think religion is just something that people do on the weekends, but it has no direct impact on their lives?
I think that's a large part of it, and I think that they kind of see us as like the Muslims, that it's a farce to begin with, but we believe it, and therefore they're going to exploit it.
And folks, I would say not only do we need to vote, but you need to help other people register in your church and in your community and your family and make sure they vote as well. General Boykin, great to have you on the program as always, and encourage everyone to get a copy of Strong and Courageous. You can find it online. Go to TonyPerkins.com. Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you for joining us for this weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. If you missed our Pray Vote Stand Summit in Atlanta last week, I want to remind you that you can still watch some of the informative and inspiring sessions at PrayVoteStand.org. I look forward to having you back again next week, right here, for more Washington Watch.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.